Jai. Srila Haridas Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. I'm a little mixed up today. Anyway, today is the holy appearance day of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And this morning we're going to read a little from the songbook. There's a nice introduction there. And it says that it's the glimpse into the life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Prabhupada has said many times that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an ideal guru. He wasn't a sannyasi, but he was a householder. And Srila Prabhupada describes that as long as one is very conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness, it doesn't really matter if you're a householder or a sannyasi. As long as one is very well conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness, one can become guru. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an individual. He was a family man. He had many children, I think about 10 children. And it's described that all 10 of his children were actually pure devotees of the Lord. And of course, we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, one of his children, was the guru of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very resilient. We'll read here in this particular introduction. He was very resilient in his preaching efforts. He was a magistrate. He had to make decisions in terms of dacoits, so many different decisions he had to make as a magistrate, which was kind of amazing in terms of him being a Vaishnava, a great acharya. Kind of amazing that he would be a magistrate. Can you imagine, like, just like somebody like Srila Prabhupada being a magistrate? Pretty amazing. But he was very powerful, very strong. He wrote many books. We'll be reading about how he would sleep only a few hours a day, get up, read, and chant, and write almost like 100 books he wrote. He actually was responsible for reviving the Krishna or Lord Chaitanya's movement single-handedly. At that time, it was practically gone. There were many sahajiyas. So many crazy things were going on. And it was maybe, 100, 200 years after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by that time, things deteriorated very much. Prabhupada gives the example like a house. When you build a house brand new, after some time, 50, 60, 100 years, it becomes deteriorated, becomes old. So in the same way, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. But by the time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was on the planet, that movement deteriorated considerably with so many sahajiyas and so many individuals that said that they were incarnations. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his position, and of course by his being a pure devotee of the Lord, was able to revive the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And this desire to revive this movement of Lord Chaitanya, it began somewhere in 1896. And in 1896 is when His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada took birth on this planet. So it wasn't an accident. It was by the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he wanted someone, and he predicted that someone would come and spread this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world. And it so happened that Srila Prabhupada took birth in that year. And it was the same year that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to inaugurate this Sankirtan movement in the Western world. So it's pretty pretty amazing. So It's described that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please send me someone that can help me spread this message of Krishna consciousness. And then it's described that Prabhupada himself said that's when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj took birth in the family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. After this intense prayer and meditation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then appeared Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who in himself was Nrisimha Guru, very powerful preacher of the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he himself established the Krishna consciousness movement in India. He has something like 32 or so mats that were spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he began that process. But really, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the inaugurator of the Krishna consciousness movement as we see it today. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, his son, was a very integral part of spreading that message in India. And then His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada took that message under the instruction of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and gave it to us here in the Western world. So we're here by the grace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is why we're here. So today's a very auspicious day to praise and glorify Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he's the real inaugurator of this Krishna consciousness movement. And Srila Prabhupada also gives Srila Bhaktivinoda that credit, that by his vision, by his intense desire and his prayer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Krishna consciousness was founded. It's also described that there's three major, important factors in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. The first one, of course, would be that the books that he wrote. He wrote so many wonderful books on Lord Chaitanya, on Krishna consciousness, something like 100 books that he wrote. And that was one major contribution by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Another great contribution was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he excavated, that's the word, excavated? He excavated the birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's described that one time he was standing or sitting on the veranda in the evening, and he was over looking towards where Mayapur, where our temple is today. He was overlooking the land there. And as he was looking, they saw a light right there where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth. And he was sitting there with his son, and they were looking that way. And they saw this light. And that was the inspiration for him to look in that particular direction for the birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he, of course, took Jagannath, Jagannath Babaji, that's right, Jagannath Babaji. Thank you. At a senior moment. So he took Jagannath Babaji with him, and they went to that particular area, and there they discovered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site. So this is the second most wonderful and amazing contribution by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His books, one, excavating the site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was number two. And number three was very, very special. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very innovative in his ability to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he used his position to be innovative in this message. He was somewhat of a revolutionary in terms of his presentation. And even his appearance, as his appearance goes through his life, until all the time that, you know, he was in Babaji, when he took Babaji in the latter part, like last 3 years of his life, he was very innovative. He had a beard, he had hair, and he was very different. So that appearance was one thing compared to different kinds of Babajis and sadhus in that particular time. And he was also very innovative in his presentation as a magistrate, a householder in those particular times, unless you were like a big sadhu or sannyasi. It wasn't a normal thing to see a householder with 10 children and being in such a powerful position and so knowledgeable and so empowered to be able to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It was very amazing, almost like unbelievable. So he was a person who tried to uphold the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the process of Krishna consciousness. And we'll read here about different persons that he actually had to confront. That one great demon, Vishakhasena, who was one of the biggest demons that he had to confront, who considered himself to be Mahavishnu. And then he had a couple of cohorts. One was Balaram. I forget, the other one was Krishna or something. So it was pretty amazing how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not in any shape or form influenced by these sahajas, who were very rampant in those days. So we'll read a little here today. Is there anything else that someone would like to say about Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Okay. Could you give me a second? I forgot to bring one book. It was Life and Times of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It has some specifics in there concerning about this story, Vishakhasena, and different things about him that were kind of interesting. So hopefully we can get that book here. All right, so what I'll do is I'll read this. It's a glimpse into the life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Thakur Bhaktivinoda led a life of incessant labor and activity for Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He effected such immense good in the world that his work is only to be compared with the unbounded works of Sri Chaitanya himself and the six Goswamis. It was the spiritual attempts and divine writings of this individual that turned the scale and led the intelligent and educated community to believe in the noble precepts and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. If we look back 180 years, we cannot but be astonished to find how degraded was the condition of the Vaishnava faith that had its pure origin in the deep and majestic spiritual philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even vastly learned pandits could not fathom the super excellent precepts of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, yet due to incredulity born of the ignorance of uncultured men, the Vaishnava faith had been degraded and was considered a beggar's excuse for living at the expense of society. It was by sheer love for the Godhead that Bhaktivinoda expounded the deep philosophy which has remained concealed in the pages of the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, and Srimad Bhagavatam. By his action toward divine service and also by his words set in simple language to be easily understood by readers in general, he has given this philosophy to the world. It is his writings and his divine unparalleled character that have helped to produce a class of educated and enlightened men who are now proud of their Vaishnava faith and of their acquisition of the spiritual knowledge of the pure and sublime philosophy of Krishna, on which the stern teachings of Sri Chaitanya are based. Though born in opulent circumstances on September 2, 1838, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, who was given the name Kedaranath Datta, had to meet many difficulties in his early life. His childhood was spent in his maternal grandfather's house in Birnagar, from where he came to Calcutta at the age of 13. After the death of his father, after he completed his education, he was requested to be present at the time of his paternal grandfather's death. His grandfather, Rajavallabha Datta, had been a famous personality of Calcutta and had retired to a lonely place in Orissa to spend his last days as an ascetic. He could predict the future and knew when he would die, since he could commune with supernatural beings. Thakur Bhaktivinoda was present at the eventful time when that great soul passed away, and after receiving his grandfather's instructions, he visited all of the major temples and ashrams of the state of Orissa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur then entered the educational service and introduced English education into the state of Orissa for the first time. He wrote a small book about all the ashrams of the state and mentioned an ashram which was on his ancestor's property. Quote, "I have a small village named Chotimangalpur in the country of Orissa, of which I am the proprietor," he wrote. "In that village is a religious house which was granted by my predecessors to the holy men as a holding of rent-free land. The head of the institution entirely gave up entertaining such men as chanced to seek shelter on a rainy night. This came to my notice, and I administered a severe threat that his lands would be cruelly resumed if in the future complaints of inhospitality were brought to my knowledge." End of quote. Bhaktivinoda Thakur later took to government service and was transferred to Bengal. In one town, he gave a historic speech on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which attracted the attention of thousands. He made the world know what hidden treasures pervade every page of the Bhagavatam, which should be read by all persons having a philosophic turn of mind. He was transferred some years later to a town called Champaran. In this town, there was a Brahma Daitya living in a great banyan tree, and he was being worshipped by many degraded people. A Brahma Daitya is a type of ghost. One day, the father of a famous girl scholar came to Bhaktivinoda for alms, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur at once employed him in reading the Bhagavatam under the shade of the banyan tree, which was the abode of the ghost. After 1 month, the Bhagavatam was completed, and then and there, the tree crashed to the ground, and the ghost was gone for good. Everyone was thankful for this act, except a few dishonest persons who were worshipping the ghost. Bhaktivinoda's next move was to Puri. The government commissioner was much pleased to get him in his division, and he asked him to watch the affairs of the temple of Jagannath on behalf of the government. It was through Bhaktivinoda's exertions that many malpractices were checked, and the time for the offering of foods before the deity was regulated to its extreme punctuality. Thakur Bhaktivinoda was especially entrusted to quell the rise against the government of one Vishikishena, who declared himself to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. One thing, too, that at this particular time, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in charge of the Jagannath Temple, there was a Raj who also was involved in the management of the temple. But he was known to be somewhat of a thief. He was corrupt. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered this, and this Raj actually had a big chest of gold. He accumulated so much wealth from this position in devious ways. So what happened was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised him, and then he started taking those funds, and he used those funds to start resume properly the 56 offerings to Lord Jagannath on a daily basis. So from doing that, the chest of this Raj became less and less, almost depleted. So he became so disturbed that he actually wanted to assassinate Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he knew that he couldn't just assassinate him, like just shoot him or something or kill him. So he devised a plan where they would do almost like a 1 month yajna, fire yajna. And at the end of that yajna, Bhaktivinoda would supposedly drop dead. So they did this yajna, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was aware of it. He had his spies in the temple, and they were telling him about this particular idea of the Raja. So practically, he would just wait and wait and wait until the very last day of this yajna. And at the very last day, at the last moment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he entered this yajna. And so instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually falling dead, the Raja's son, his only son, died instead. And this is, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur even comments on this in his own autobiography. So there Krishna saved him. Pretty incredible just to see the potency of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Pretty amazing. So this Raj became very distraught that his only son was dead instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. During the course of his investigation, Thakur Bhaktivinoda found him to be a hoax and a culprit and charged him with transgressing government injunctions. After his trial, the fellow was sentenced to imprisonment for a year and a half, but he soon died in jail. This man was really possessed of unnatural powers, but as they were the outcome of non-spiritual practices, he had to submit to the Thakur when the latter wanted him to do so. Bhishikishena was held in dread by the common people, and everyone warned Srila Bhaktivinoda not to admonish him, even for the sake of justice, in view of the serious consequences that the yogi would inflict. But although the Thakur was not a man of ostentation and did not allow people to know his true qualities and spiritual strength, he easily cut down the demoniac power of the impostor. With the fall of Bhishikishena, there rose an impostor Balaram at another village, and there were also other so-called incarnations of God. But their plans were similarly frustrated. So Bhishikishena, he would live in the forest, and there he proclaimed that he was Mahavishnu, and he would perform the Ras Lila dance. And he would take advantage of so many village ladies. Only until some of the big ministers of that area and their wives being manipulated by Bhishikishena did they actually become disturbed. Previous to that, he was just picking on village women. But then he started getting the women, the wives of ministers, and they would come to the Ras Lila dance, and there he would take advantage of them. And only then did they complain, and at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was summoned to come and take care of this and to squash this particular Mahavishnu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur came there with soldiers, with policemen, constables. And Bhishikishena, at that time, he could see that he had great power. And as we know, most of his power came from his hair. He had long dreadlocks. And he was able to heal people. When Bhaktivinoda was there, he saw him healing people that had stab wounds, spear wounds, and so many different types of illnesses. And this Bhishikishena was so powerful, he could actually heal people from different serious illnesses. And so many people became very fearful of him. And, of course, he had many followers that took advantage of his position, and they became very powerful themselves from his position. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur imprisoned him, yes, he did curse him, and from that curse he became very ill, and so did his son. And so it's described that his wife, Bhaktivinoda's wife, was very stressed out by this, amazingly scared, and begged Bhaktivinoda Thakur to stop. But he wouldn't. He was determined to expose this rascal. So it so happens that, yes, he was thrown in jail. They had a court trial. And before Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to make the sentence, because he was the magistrate, the judge, he became very ill. So ill that he could not even move. They had to carry him to court in a palanquin. They have to get some people to come carry Bhaktivinod to the courthouse and sit him on his seat. And there he made his decision to imprison hard labor for something like 6 months of hard labor to Vishakhasena. And as the sentence was imposed, and they were sitting there in the courthouse, one fellow behind Vishakhasena, and he was also an employee of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he grabbed him by his hair, by his locks, and he cut his locks of hair right there in the courtroom. And there, Vishakhasena, he fell, like a bag of rocks. He just fell. He collapsed. And he couldn't move. He literally could not even move. And they had to carry him, pick him up and carry him to jail. And following that, a few months later in jail, he took poison and he died. So this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very, very well known and powerful, that he would take on such great imposters. Mystic yogis who had incredible power. And you can imagine in those days in villages, if someone had such power, there's no way you wouldn't think that they were actually God or some demigod or some great, great personality. During his stay at Jagannath Puri, Thakur Bhaktivinoda devoted much of his time to the discussion of spiritual works and prepared notes on the Vedanta Sutras, which were published with the commentaries of Baladeva Vijayabhushana. He also composed the Kalyana Kalpataru, from which is Vibhavari Sesha, one selection, appears in his book. This may very truly be termed as immortal work, and it stands on the same level as the divine writings of Narottam Das Thakur. In 1877, he left Puri on government service, and in 1881, he started a well-known spiritual journal called Sajjana Toshani, The Satisfaction of Pure Devotees. He also published the Sri Krishna Samhita, which revealed to the world the underlying philosophy explaining the spiritual existence of Krishna. This book opened the eyes of educated people to teach them their true relationship with God. It also attracted the admiration of many German scholars, for although the public regarded Krishna as a poetic creation of erotic nature, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed Krishna as Parabrahman, the supreme transcendental person, the absolute being, on the basis of Vedic evidence. At the close of his stay at the village of Nairel, he visited Vrindavan. There he had to encounter a band of dacoits known as Kunjjaharas. These powerful bandits spread all over the roads surrounding the holy place and used to attack innocent pilgrims. Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought this news to the government, and after many months of struggle, extirpated the bandits from Vrindavan forever. From this time on, Thakur Bhaktivinoda preached extensively in large gatherings, explaining all the precepts of Sankirtan, of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While staying at Barasat, Thakur Bhaktivinoda met the famous Bengali writer Mankimachandra. This novelist and playwright had just finished writing a book on Krishna, and knowing Srila Bhaktivinoda to be an authority on topics of Krishna, he gave the manuscript to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to see. It was full of mundane Western stylized speculations and ideas. But after 4 days of discussion, Bhaktivinoda had the whole text revised by Bankimachandra to accommodate the pure, supramundane precepts of Lord Chaitanya. During his last year at Barasat, Bhaktivinoda was requested by a noted high court judge to publish an authoritative edition of Srimad Bhagavad Gita with the commentaries of Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as well as his own translation. The preface written by Bhaktimachandra expressed his gratitude to the Thakur for his endeavor, and when it was published, the copies were soon exhausted. Then Thakur Bhaktivinoda published a unique work entitled Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, The Nectarian Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which dealt with Lord Chaitanya's theistic philosophy and the philosophies of the Western speculators. This book defeats every other philosophy point for point and establishes the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya as supreme. In 1885, he started a society named the Sri Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha for the propagation of pure Hari Bhakti. Many eminent citizens of Calcutta joined the society, and several committees were organized with assigned duties. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so anxious to see the land of Lord Chaitanya that he applied many times for a transfer to any town nearby. Upon receiving the desired transfer, he formally submitted his resignation from public service, but it was refused. Then, to his great rejoicing, he obtained a transfer to Krishnanagar, 25 miles from Navadvip, Mayapur. Once stationed at a place near Navadvip, he did not let a single free moment pass without visiting the land of Navadvip. He at once made inquiries about the exact whereabouts of the different places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He soon discovered that then the city of Navadvip was a town of only 100 years standing, so he was curious to locate the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He was convinced that the town of Navadvip was not the authentic location, and he at once commenced a vigorous inquiry to find the truth of the matter. But he could not easily escape from the people who tried to make him believe that the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya was at that town. Then, after careful inquiry, he was told that the site was lost under the shifting course of the Ganges. Not satisfied with this explanation, he himself set out to discover the yoga pit birthplace. After great difficulties, he came to know of a place which was being adored by many realized souls as the true birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which was then in possession of the Muslims. Local inquiry and cooperation evidence from ancient maps dating from the latter part of the 18th century, which showed the name Sri Mayapur, at last helped him to discover the real site of the birthplace. The discovery led to the publishing of a valuable work called Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Chapter 5 of this book has appeared in ISKCON's Bengali Bhakti Guided magazine. The year 1895 was the most eventful year in the history of the Vaishnava world, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the prime mover of the events. It was in this year that he officially memorialized the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought his true identity and importance before the public eye. Thousands of visitors were present at a function held at the spot. Just after retiring from government service, Thakur Bhaktivinoda himself, in a spirit of perfect humility and with a view to giving a firm standing to the discovery, went from door to door to raise funds for a temple. In the Amrita Bazaar Patrika newspaper on December 6, 1894, the following article appeared, quote, Babu Kedarnath Datta, the distinguished deputy magistrate who has just retired from the service, is one of the most active members. Indeed, Babu Kedarnath Datta has been deputed by his committee to raise subscriptions in Calcutta and elsewhere, and is determined to go from house to house, if necessary, and beg a rupee from each Hindu gentleman for the noble purpose. If Babu Kedarnath Datta sticks to his resolution of going around with a bag in hand, we hope that no Hindu gentleman whose house may be honored by the presence of such a devout bhakta will send him away without contributing his mite, however humble it may be, to the Gaura Vishnupriya Temple Fund. End of quote. Truly, Thakur Bhaktivinoda honored the houses of many persons for the fulfillment of the noble object he had undertaken. He went to persons to whom he would not have gone for any purpose but for this mission of Lord Chaitanya, and his efforts were not fruitless, since the sum collected contributed to the construction of a building on the holy site of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The work of preaching the holy name was also in full swing, and it spread fast into the distant corners of the globe. The Gauranga Smarana Mangala Stotra, with a preface in English containing the life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya, came out from Bhaktivinoda's pen soon after the discovery of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace and found its place in all the learned institutions of both hemispheres. The more the names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna were preached, the merrier was Thakur Bhaktivinoda. He thereafter made annotations of Sri Brahma Samhita and Sri Krishna Karnamrita and gave to the world his immortal and precious works, Sri Harinam Chintamani and Bhajana Rahasya. He also edited with commentary Srimad Bhagavatarka Marichi Mala, which contains all the most prominent shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam pertaining to the Vaishnava philosophy. His pen never tired, and it produced many other Vaishnava philosophical works. He would rise at 10 o'clock at night after resting for only 2 hours or so and write continuously till 4 in the morning, composing songs, essays, and books. Most of his works appeared in the Sajjana Toshini magazine. He was equally engaged in writing and in preaching the holy name in many districts of Bengal. His personal appearances at villages had marvelous effects on the people. He maintained the center at Nadia. He built a house at Sri Godrumdvip, which is called Sri Svananda Sukada Kunja. Here in this abode, the preaching of Harinam continued in full swing. It was at the beginning of the 12th century that he chose to live at Puri and build a house on the beachfront there. Many honest souls sought his blessings and readily obtained them when he accepted the renounced order of life by taking Babaji initiation from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji in 1908. Though he was leading the life of a renounced soul, he could not avoid the men of all description who constantly visited him. All of them received oceans of spiritual training, instructions, and blessings. In 1910, he shut himself up and remained in a perfect state of samadhi, or full concentration on the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In 1914, he passed on to the blissful realm of Goloka on the day which is observed as the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar. Here we quote a stanza written about the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which Srila Bhaktivinoda wrote sometime in 1871, to explain what influence a Vaishnava carries in this world even after his departure. Quote, "He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around." End of quote. Srila Bhaktivinoda predicted, "Soon there will appear a personality who will preach the holy name of Hari all over the world." It is clearly understood that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is that personality. "I offer my prostrated obeisances first unto all the devotees that have surrendered unto His divine lotus feet, and next unto the devotees who will in the future take shelter of His lotus feet, and I then offer my humble obeisances unto His lotus feet again and again. May He bless this first translation attempt so that it may be accepted by Lord Sri Krishna, and may He engage me in the service of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya Radharani, Achyutananda Swami." Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So my voice is going downhill real quick. But is there anyone else that would like to say something about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that they remember? Can we get a microphone? Would anybody else like to say anything about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur had influence over many people, even in England and the West, including my maternal grandfather, who was a follower of Thakur. I remember as a child, the the shrine that my grandfather had set up in the kitchen, with there was the picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in, amongst the others of Vishnu and so forth, and and Ganesh. But he repeated, my grandfather repeated that foretelling of a great personality who had come, a great Vaishnava teacher who had come out of India and then spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Western countries.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.